This is Mixed Mornings, and the time is 26 minutes past nine, and it's time we talked about one of the biggest timepieces in the whole of Hertfordshire. Yes, it's the Clock Tower in St Albans, and it opened for business on Friday once again for the summer months. And if you're thinking of visiting, well, lucky for you, we've got one of the volunteers here. Yes, no less than Ken Wright. Welcome to Mixed Mornings, Ken. And it's great to see you here today. And before we learn a bit more about the Clock Tower, we always like to get to know a little bit about our guests and what they do and who they are. So, first and foremost, do you come from St Albans? Are you a local lad?
I'm a St Albans boy, choir of St Stephen's Church.
Oh, right, okay.
Went to the grammar school.
Born and bred.
Everything to do. Love St Albans.
Okay, so you've literally lived your whole life, yeah?
Well, I now live in Abbots Langley, but I'm very close to St Albans, yes.
Okay, are you retired now?
Yeah.
So what did you do before you retired?
I had a financial services business, which is still going strong in London Road.
Okay.
People might see it above Shea Mumtaz.
Okay, you can do a little ad, it's no problem.
I'll do a little ad. It's called KDW, coming up for 50 years, and my youngest son David's got a very successful shop office, also called KDW, in the old High Street, Hemel.
Well, there we are. It's about local. Loving local is what Mix 92.6 is all about, and that sounds to me like that is loving local. Now then, Ken, how did you get interested in the Clock Tower?
As a boy, as a very young boy, I was always coming up to St Albans with a threepenny bit. Making my way to the Clock Tower, first of all,
right.
Racing up the stairs, because I loved the view from the top, but also every room just fascinated me. The old bell called Gabriel, which has been there for 600 years.
Wow.
And it just the history of it fascinated me.
We're talking this morning about the Clock Tower here on Mixed Mornings, and that's the Clock Tower in St Albans. And here in the studio, we've got Ken Wright, one of the clocketeers, who you can meet when you visit the Clock Tower. So, Ken, let's get into some of the detail about this Clock Tower, because I'm sure that most people know it's there. They see it. It's kind of sitting up there. Why is it in such a prominent position in St Albans?
It's to do with the abbey and the fact that 600 years ago the church was all powerful and the townspeople of St Albans resented the church. This was before the monasteries were done away with by Henry VIII. And it sounds really strange, but there were different times then. And so they built the clock tower and had their own bell to sound the time.
So it's kind of like a protest.
It was a protest vote about the time of the peasants' revolt. So everyone was revolting.
Well, so today we might put on our gilets jaunes, and then they just built a clock tower.
They did indeed.
But it's quite a magnificent clock tower. So when actually was it built?
They've carbon dated it to about 1410.
And when it was literally the townspeople or the people in St Albans.
The rich people, yeah.
No, those with money enough to build a tower. So When they did that, did it achieve what they wanted to in terms of, you know, annoying the local church? How did that work?
Well, it balanced things up, and they were able to sound the hours of the day, because those days nobody knew what time it was apart from when it was light and when it was dark. So unless you had a bell chimer, nobody ever knew what the time was.
So if you're working in the fields, then you hear the bell, and then you know it's, you know, lunchtime. Or
that was it. That was it.
Blimey, there we are. You see, we've got our watches and our iPads and whatever, and they had a clock tower.
They did.
It's a different life then, isn't it? A very different life. And so has the clock tower changed over time, or has it just been that sort of that permanent feature there?
It's been rebuilt quite a lot in the 1860s because it became quite derelict, and so the chap you mentioned earlier, Grimthorpe, had it done up by Gilbert Scott. But if you look at it now, and I recommend it go today or any other day at the weekend, you can see a shop on the ground floor, living quarters. It's used as a semaphore station, Napoleonic War, so it's been used an awful lot by a lot of people.
And I don't know whether you have the precise details, but how tall is it?
I just looked it up. It's 64 feet.
Okay, 64 feet tall. And presumably in its day, and given that it's kind of a very prominent part of the world, pretty much the tallest thing for quite a long way around.
Indeed, yeah. Very, very prominent. And the only one in England, whereas they've got lots on the continent.
Oh, right. Well, when you say the only one, well, the only clock tower on its own.
The only one left. The only one that's called a belfry, yes.
Well, I mean, this is incredible stuff. And I suppose the most important thing is, does it still keep good time?
I think so. Every time I look at it, it seems to be all right.
And then what happens? Because I understand there's a bell and it rings. And I understand if you're... We'll come on to how you go and visit in a moment. But if you're in that room, it's pretty loud, isn't it?
I sometimes forget to warn children and they come down shaking. But it's not the bell, big bell, that's actually ringing, because if they rung it, it's so big that it would demolish the wooden structure that's holding it. So it's a contraption that makes the noise up top.
Okay. We've got Ken Wright with us today, and he's talking about the clock tower in St Albans. And obviously we've been talking about it, but of course the great news is, Ken, that you can actually go and see it and you can visit it.
It was handy because it's open today.
Uh-huh.
But all summer it's open on Saturdays and Sundays. And I generally find two lots of people come. People from abroad, very popular, and also locals who've been here for 30 years and never been up and then are surprised how much fun it is.
Ah, okay. Now, tell us a bit about what happens when you go and visit. What do you see, and how does it all work?
It's very, very simple. You walk through the door. Be careful because the height is very low. And then you're greeted by two clocketeers who will take your money, all of £2 each for adults, but children go free. And then you've got the run of the place for as long as you like. And there's quite a lot to see as you go up, and then the most beautiful views from the top.
Okay, and obviously, presumably the clocketeers are on hand to answer questions and to give fascinating facts like how wide the wall is and things like that.
Yeah, the clock tower is 64 foot tall and the walls are 4 foot wide in some places because the bell Gabriel, which I keep coming back to, when it used to chime, it was so heavy that if the walls hadn't been that thick, the whole building would have fallen down.
Well, at least these medieval clock tower builders actually knew what they were doing. I mean, sometimes here today, people aren't so sure. But that sounds like they had a clue that they were building something big and needed to be very strong.
Well, it's superb that it's withstand the test of time, 600 years. It has been done up from time to time, but it's a most magnificent structure. And I always think it looks rather beautiful where it is. Next to the beautiful Boot Pub.
Of course, of course. Now, in order to get up there, there are how many steps are there?
93 steps.
There are 93 steps. So is this suitable for everyone, or do you need to have a little bit of oomph in order to get up to the top?
You need oomph, and also if you suffer from vertigo, which obviously some people do, be a bit careful, but some people go up with vertigo and they're okay. But it's really only when you get to the top that you possibly suffer from vertigo.
Okay, and from the top, what can you actually see? What are the sort of the different vistas that you can have from the top?
Well, one view faces Verulam Golf Course, which looks beautiful this time of year, and people have said that they can see as far as the Shard in London.
Wow! Okay,
so that's quite spectacular.
Okay, well, I guess it is. It sort of sits on the top of the hill, really, in St Albans, anyway, doesn't it?
It's in an absolutely perfect position.
And I guess the other question is, obviously you've got the magnificent and huge abbey, but it is sort of a little bit down the hill, isn't it, from there?
It is. So in a sense, it seems to be above the abbey, but it's. I think they built it so it's on a level.
Okay, but you can see that they were trying to make their point.
They were making their point, yes.
This is Mix 92.6.
Yeah, time now is 9:45, and Ken Wright, who is a clocketeer, is with us this morning. Now, Ken, you've got to tell us a bit about this clocketeering. I mean, it's a very clever name, but how did you get to become a clocketeer?
I saw a random ad somewhere, I can't remember where, saying we need clocketeers, and it fascinated me, so I got in touch with the Civic Society, joined the St Albans Civic Society, which is one way to become a clocketeer. The other way is to be a member of St Albans and Hertfordshire Art and Architectural Society, both of which are superb societies which support St Albans.
Okay, and you don't have to sort of pass any exams to become a clocketeer?
No exams. It's really good fun for the hour and a half I do it, which I don't do it that often. I perhaps do it once every 3 weeks in the summer, but it's a very enjoyable thing to do.
And I just love this name, Clocketeer. Is there like a Grand Poobah Clocketeer who's got an even better name?
No, we're all of the same status, which is lovely. Okay. But it is, as you say, a lovely name.
It is. I think it's really good. It sort of imbues something rather nice about the people who are Clocketeers around there as well. Now, if you want to find out more information about being a Clocketeer or visiting the Clock Tower, what should people do?
Both the Civic Society and also St Albans and Hertfordshire Art and Architectural Society, which is rather a mouthful. On their website, there's information. But if you just put the Clock Tower St Albans on the internet, it all pops up, and there's actually a virtual tour, which you can do if you can't, for any reason, go around the Clock Tower, which is very interesting. But it sort of leads you into what you can do at the Clock Tower.
Oh, that's fantastic. So go to the website, just type in St Albans Clock Tower, and you'll find out everything you need to know. And then if you go along and visit, then, as you say, it's £2 for a visit for an adult?
£2 per adult, nothing for children, and probably the best value of anything you can do for an hour at a weekend.